Have you come across the website called 22 Words? Does anyone know that website? No, you're all going to rush home and check it out, I know. Please wait till after the service. It sponsors an ongoing challenge of expressing yourself on some matter in 22 words or less, much like tweeting. There are different categories like my life so far, or which Star Wars character are you and why? You have to answer each one with only 22 words. One of the great categories is describe your greatest experience. And one of the answers was this: I am in a hospital. A nurse hands me a screaming baby, and I sat there looking down and said, "Hello, son." Jesus, this morning, speaks in 32 words. In English, anyway. I didn't count the Greek. But his response is a bit longer than 22. But in 32 words, he leaves his disciples with a clear summary of what the Christian life is and how he would like us to live it. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What gives Jesus' statement power is not only its brevity, but its clear focus. It's one thing, perhaps, if push comes to shove, the one and only thing Jesus wants his disciples to know and to remember when he is gone. He's reminding them he's about to leave. And he says, love one another. He doesn't say, evangelize one another, or keep each other accountable, or give money to the church, or resist temptation, or make me proud, or even be nice. Not any of the other 100 things we regularly hear lifted up as the pinnacle and the priority of Christian life, but rather love one another. Now keep in mind where we are in John's story of Jesus. It's the eve of the crucifixion, and Jesus knows he will definitely be leaving shortly, and he offers them departing instruction and words of farewell, 4 chapters, in fact, of departing instruction and words of farewell. Yet all of them can be boiled down to these 32 words that he's just modeled by washing their feet, by serving them, by calling them friends. He has just modeled it by being betrayed by Judas and yet still loving him. When you think about it, these words articulate the simplest and most difficult command that Jesus possibly could have given. Simple, because on any given day, at almost any given moment, we usually know deep down what the most loving thing to do for those around us is. But doing it is another matter. There's often a disconnect between what we believe, even what we feel, what we know, and what we do. So much gets in the way. We're too busy, or tired, or focused on a goal, or impatient, or angry. But Jesus is adamant. To be a disciple is to love one another. Not only that, but others will recognize that we are disciples then and now by whether we offer love. This morning, after the 8 o'clock service, someone who comes frequently to that service who hadn't made it in time for the 8 a.m., I don't know why they wouldn't, I mean, really, it's only 8 a.m., showed up at the end of the service and came to give me their offering. This is not someone that you might think would even give an offering, but he decided to talk to me this morning. This is also someone who often doesn't talk. And I was in my office, I had taken off my robes, and I had not had coffee yet this morning. I had slept in a bit, I was tired, I was a bit grumpy, and now someone wanted to talk to me. My heart knew what was right to get to the coffee shop. No, my heart knew what to do. but actually doing it took some effort. I remembered I was preaching on it, after all. Love one another. To be loving in that moment was not to rush off, but was to stand and listen. And this man, for the first time, I've known him now, I've seen him for years, a couple of years, told me his life story. Not in 22 words, but maybe within 5 minutes. And that was a moment that was given to me an example of exactly what I'm talking about. And we're not as good at loving one another as we used to be in some ways. Rachel, the executive director of the Well downstairs, was speaking at something I was at the other night. And she said that they do many things at the Well. They provide breakfast and lunch. They provide programs for women. They provide all sorts of health and mental health services that come in to help the women. But the biggest thing they provide is community. Because the biggest problem that people have these days is loneliness. Doctors have quantified the effects of loneliness, which they're now calling a disease, warning that lonely people are nearly twice as likely to die prematurely as those who do not suffer feelings of isolation. You thought you needed to worry about your weight, but you actually have a lot more to worry about when it comes to your loneliness. The Lonely Society, a 2010 report commissioned by the Mental Health Foundation in the US, cited a link between our individualistic society and the increase in common mental health disorders in the last 50 years. It also drew on research showing that mental health problems occur more frequently in unequal societies where vulnerable people are often left behind. And it's easy to see that in our community. There are now places where you can go in Ottawa to play board games with other people. I used to do that at home with my family. There are now places called the Hub, where people who often work from home on their laptops or computers or remotely, and I don't mean Yellowknife, I mean remotely in the city, gather and share office space and conversation and can bring people together. And that is where they meet so that they're not at home with their computer. Loneliness as a mental health issue would not have been a surprise to Mother Teresa. She once said, "The biggest disease today is not leprosy or cancer or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and deserted by everybody." The need has never been greater for us to follow Jesus' command to love one another. We can do this. We can be friends with ourselves and with others. We know what that is like. We know what it is like when we receive it. We are the ones that have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to do this in our society. We are the ones who have been invited to share the fellowship and the good news of what we find in the gospel with those in our world. It's something we can do. Now, it's something that we're already doing as well. This parish in particular has done much of this. The Well, the community thrift shop is often, besides making some money, it provides more of a community influence than almost anything else. Having art on our walls where people can come in and relax and meet other people, all sorts of things, multi-faith housing, refugees. Those are big projects, and sometimes we need to be reminded that waiting outside our office, pausing on the front step, or buying someone a cup of coffee is just, or perhaps even more, important. Every week, we do hundreds of acts of kindness and actually love people, but going the extra mile is something we need to be reminded about. And so we need to tell the stories of what that is like. I'm going to tell you a story. Now, some of you have already heard this, but it's about Manu. Manu owns El Fiore Florist, a florist across the street. She has made that business hers. She's the sole operator and owner, and she does amazing work. You've often seen it in our narthex, for instance. I was over there the other day, and often when I'm there, I don't always buy something. Sometimes I just go to say hi. And she will talk to me about difficult customers she had last week and ask me, "Surely you don't have to deal with this in the church." I never use names. And we talk about things like, how do you deal with the bride's mother? How do you do that? And all of those kinds of things. We actually share a lot in common in our workplaces. Anyway, the other day I was there and the bell was ringing. It was noon. And she stopped mid-sentence and said, "I love that bell." And I said, "Do you?" And she said, "Yes. Just recently, someone phoned me from England. And I was talking to them, and the bell started to ring. And the person on the other end said, 'Where are you exactly?' And she said, 'My shop is in the center of the capital of Canada. And across the street is my neighborhood church that rings its bell every day at lunchtime.'" She said to me, "I am on my own, and that bell reminds me that we are part of a neighborhood." We thought it was a simple thing. The doors are open. One day someone thought, "Hey, why don't we ring the bell?" Well, loving one another can sometimes be that obvious and that simple. And that is a lesson for us to remember. It doesn't have to be a long paragraph or a whole book. It can be 22 or 32 words to take up the challenge to look for acts of love. So for the next while, I encourage you to look for them. And in 22 words, I'll give you 32, email them to me. I want to hear, what is an act of love that you have done from this place or someone in the neighborhood has done for you? And then we'll post them and keep a log. Because we need to tell the stories, just as Jesus told the stories over and over again to his disciples and his people. We will be surprised at how powerful those acts of love are. And like Jesus' command, they'll move us outside of ourselves, remind us of the good, and inspire us to love one another. Amen.